I will do a new thing. Now is, and it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Father God, I thank you and I praise you for your word that tonight you're going to speak to us. And I thank you, Lord, that our hearts will be open to receive your word. And this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Everybody says, Amen. Amen. Many of us would really want to start a fresh beginning for the year 2011. But however, many of us made mistakes in the year 2010. We make mistakes that it really enslaves us. As a Christian, we are not enjoying the fullness of God's abundant blessing to each one of us. Because we made mistakes, we had setbacks, we had failures. But the good news is that the scripture tells us in Isaiah chapter 43 verse 18, the good news is that God said, I will do a new thing. He will do something new in our life. What all of us here need this morning or this evening is a fresh start. Aren't you glad that God is a God of second chances? As Ted Williams says, if you're familiar with him, if you have opened your internet or your TV, this guy was homeless for many years, and in the last 2 years, he got converted and he got born again, and there was a change in his life. He stopped taking drugs, he stopped taking alcohol, and this time, he's praying and hoping that one day God is really going to answer his prayer. The secular people will call it a second chance. So one day he was in the street and he was showing his placard that I have a God-given voice and homeless, and if you will consider me and help me. And there was this guy who stopped, a good Samaritan, stopped, took some pictures of him, and then he showed it in the YouTube, and in a few hours, everybody knew about him, and now he is employed in Ohio as an announcer. And he said, the Lord gave me a second chance. So all of us have a second chance, as the secular world will say. Maybe last year you said, I will read more of my Bible, I will pray more, and I will have an quality time with my family. I spend time with my wife. And yet, after a year, you notice that you were not able to do it, as you said, in the first month of last year. In the same way, today, we are in the first month. And we might come up with some promises that we will do this, and we will have a long list, and the list will go on, and yet we know that one day we are not able to do it. Now, I want you to be encouraged in our reading today, because God is not interested in our past. He is more interested in our future, because God will always want us to move forward, and that He is more interested in our future, because one day we will be with Him forever. I'd like to give you a scripture, and that is, in this particular scripture, it tells us that truly God is interested in our future rather than in our past. And God is telling us, forget about the past, focus on the future, and I am going to do a new thing in you. In this scripture that we have read, Isaiah 43, it tells us that God really punished or really gave the Israelites a lesson to learn. Because they were rebellious, they were stiff-necked people, and God allowed the Babylonians and the others to capture them, and they became captives of the Babylonians, and they had been there for many years. And God, through Isaiah, promised them in Isaiah 43:18-19. So today, I want you to know that God has a plan for you and me. We know this in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans that I have for you, plans of good, or not of disaster, or not of evil, to give you a future and to give you a hope. Regardless of what kind of failures that you had last year, maybe you failed in your relationship, maybe you had financial failures, maybe you had some broken relationship. Regardless of what happened last year, God is going to restore everything and you can start a new, fresh beginning. Today I'd like to present to you a very simple acronym for us to remember. And that is, here we can elevate ourselves by using this acronym, START. But before we go into that, I want you to really understand the word elevate. I consulted Mr. Webster. And I looked for the word elevate, and what his definition is, it is to raise something up to a higher level. It is raising up your position or a state of being in intellectually, either spiritually or materially. So we can elevate in the year 2011 by using this acronym START. The first letter here is S. Stop making excuses or stop blaming others. So we have the tendency when we fail, we always point at other people as the source of our failure. You know, the blame game started in the Garden of Eden. When God confronted the woman and the woman said, "It's not me, Lord, it's the serpent." And then when God said, "Why did you eat of the fruit that is forbidden?" And the man said, "Lord, it's not me, it is the woman." And so it started from the very beginning. We always point our fingers to people and make excuses and blame other people. Tonight, let us consider the fact that we've got to start and stop making excuses. We have to stop blaming other people for the failures that we have committed or that we have done or the mistakes. People can truly hurt us. They can harm us. They can even humiliate us. But the only person that can really ruin your life is you. Because if you will consider that and start blaming other people and make a choice, the choice is that we have to respond to the right situation. I'm sorry, I forgot the kids. Kids, you can go and later on we'll ask you for the memory verse. You see, I've been away for a while. I'm beginning to forget the order of our service. I hope I'll not be that long so that I can still remember the order. But anyway, to continue, the point is that we should never blame others for the failures that happen in our life. And the Bible really tells us that the starting point of everything is be honest with yourself and accept responsibility for the failure. And maybe you're a part of the problem. And that's the reason why in Proverbs 28, verse 13, if you open your Bible, and I'm reading from the Living Bible. The Living Bible clearly states in this particular Proverbs 28, verse 13, a man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. But if he or she confesses and forsakes them, gets another chance. So this is very clear. In your version, maybe it's different, but I'm reading from a living translation. So, Proverbs tells us that if we refuse to admit our mistakes and our failures, we will never be successful. Also in Proverbs 15, verse 32, you know, our tendency is not to accept criticism, because there are two types of criticism. Either it's going to be negative or a positive one that we can learn. However, the Bible also tells us that if you listen to constructive criticism, you will be among the wise. So it is very important for us to open our ears and listen to what people are saying, because out of that we can learn and we can improve ourselves. And so the Bible is very clear that we've got to consider that, because people sometimes can come up with constructive, but there are people who are just critical. They have a critical spirit. They will always find faults. But there are people that will always look at the good, not your faults. So consider these things, that they look at the good, that it will improve you in your life as a Christian. So we have given up soon. Last year, maybe you encounter some challenges in life. Maybe financial challenges, maybe physical challenges, maybe relationship challenges. And because of that, maybe you had some difficulties and you gave up soon. The Bible is very clear, and in fact, it tells us also not to easily give up. In the world, they always say, do not give up. And the Bible also tells us in this particular Proverbs 24, verse 10. Now, I'm taking it from the book of Proverbs, because in the book of Proverbs, this is the book of wisdom. You know, what you do is every day, you read the book of Proverbs according to the date. Today is 10th. This January the 10th, sorry, 9. So read Proverbs 9. Because every day you're guided by the book of Proverbs. So in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10, if you fail under pressure, your strength is too small. Do not give up and be hopeless or helpless in times of trouble. I'm getting this from the Living Bible, because it really tells us of our situation. And really, if we are under pressure and we easily give up, you know, God always allows things to happen in our life to stretch our faith. So maybe God is allowing these things, this pressure. Maybe some of us really went through a pressure cooker, where the pressure was really so much that we gave up. And it will soften us. But remember, we have a God that will not forsake us or leave us. Amen? The second thing that we have to consider is another letter, and that is T. T for me is take inventory of your life. Now, what does it mean? It means you evaluate what happened last year and your life experiences and learn out of them. You know, we can learn from our mistakes, because it is also very clear that mistakes can either be your friend or your foe. Your friend when you will learn out of your mistakes. You know, every day or every moment of our life, we make mistakes. And the best thing that we can do is learn out of that mistakes. In fact, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 4, this was the time that Paul preached to the church in Galatia. And he really rebuked them, because it seems that they were not learning out of the mistakes that they committed. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 4, Paul said, have you experienced so much for nothing? Have you experienced so much for nothing? In other words, you have experienced, but have you learned something out of that experience? And then he was also telling the church in Galatia, surely it was not in vain. Surely the experience that we had was not in vain, because it taught us a lesson and we can learn out of it. And then it also says, surely it was not in vain, was it? So Paul reaffirmed and said, was it? In other words, he was telling the church in Galatia that those experiences that you had in the past will be a learning experience for you and for me. And so let us take inventory of our life. Now, you know what's inventory. Sister Tess knows this. When you are in accounting, you make an inventory. You want to make an inventory of the equipments that we have. So you want to list down all these things. List down the failures that you had. Why? And then learn out of it. You will be surprised you have a lot of failures, but you can learn out of the failures that you committed. I really sat down one time, and I was in the Philippines at the time. I started writing down all my failures. Then I was surprised. I had many failures. One failure that I had is that I didn't really spend much time really meditating in the Word of God. Although I spent time with the Lord, but it was not enough because I was not receiving enough revelation knowledge from God. So there were many times that I just browsed on the Word of God, believing that I already know about the Word of God. But really, the more you want to know, the more you realize you don't know. So let's consider that. Another thing that is, when you learn from your mistakes, you know that you are vulnerable. That means it will make you humble and make you realize that you can only depend on God. And the next one that I'd like to present to you tonight is that there are four kinds of experiences in our life that will shape us. The first experience is in the family where you grow in. You know, if you really grow in a family wherein there is always quarreling between husband and wife, it will affect your personality. So you have to consider that. You've got to learn that this type of experiences that you had affected your personality, and you have to learn out of that experience. The other experience that God allowed to happen in our life is our vocational and educational experiences. Vocational is our relationship with people in our workplace. You know, in our workplace, especially you are not working in a Christian organization, even in a Christian organization, sometimes you have conflicts. Sometimes you have some misunderstandings and disagreements. Now, how do you deal with that kind of conflicts in your workplace? Will it shape you? Will that experience help you overcome the next time you will have conflicts? In your educational, you know, the teachers will really push you hard so that you will learn. And there are times you resist, and it will not mold you because you are resisting from the learning from your teachers. So this is very important. The other thing is that your spiritual experience. All of us here have different spiritual experiences. Maybe when you got born again, you were so excited, you were so emotional, that you started crying, you started shouting, you started running around, maybe you were dancing, because you were so joyful. I have seen people, when they experience the new birth in their life, they cannot contain themselves. They wanted to release their emotions. Either they cry, they shout, they dance, because they have a joyful spirit. Some people, when they receive the new birth, they were just so quiet, sitting down, not doing, just meditating, and not even aware of what's going around. So we have different spiritual experiences, and this experience will shape us, and these experiences will help us be able to grow or elevate in our next endeavor for the year. And the fourth one is our painful experiences. What were the painful experiences that you had the year 2010? Maybe a loss of a loved one, maybe broken relationship, maybe financial problems in your life that was so painful because you lose many things that you really treasure. Or these are experiences that can help you and mold you at the same time learn out of these experiences. So we have to consider all of this. And when we consider and make inventory of all of these things, then we know it can help us. The other one that we have to consider is another letter, is A. A, for me, is you have to act in faith. You know that when you are justified, the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. Now, what do you mean when you're justified? It means that just as if you have not sinned against God. That's why, because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you are justified just as if you have not sinned. You are in right standing with God because of what Jesus Christ has done. So because of that, we have to walk by faith and not by sight. So this chair, let us try to really act in faith. If we have not acted in faith last year, we'll do it this year. The first thing that we have to do corporately in this church is to act by faith that God has a place for us. If we cannot get this place, there is another place that God has reserved for us. And we have to believe by faith that one day we will have a place of our own that we can really worship God in our own time, in our own location, because God is faithful in His Word. So we have to trust Him. We have to act by faith. We've got to launch into a new territory. You know, when we were worshiping, the Lord just impressed upon me that there is a place somewhere here that's really for us. So let's start looking around again. If we cannot take this place as our own, God has a place for us. Amen? So we've got to really act on our faith. Amen? Act our faith, because the Bible is very clear. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And we must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Now, when you are born again, you will seek God. Now, the word there, seek, does not mean it's past tense. It is present progressive. In other words, it's ongoing. So every day we've got to seek God. Because Jesus said, if you seek, you will find. If you knock, it will be open. We've got to continuously seek God. And that's the reason why in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, the believer should really seek God daily, because the Bible says, but seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. The word again, from the original word on the seek, means continuously, progressively seek God. It does not mean that when you're born again, that's the end. The born again experience is only the beginning of seeking God and walking with God by faith. So when we seek the kingdom of God, meaning God's kingdom in us, that we will continue to walk in righteousness if we seek God. That's the reason why, if you will turn again in John chapter 15, Jesus said, I'm the vine and you're the branches. We can only receive blessings from God when we are attached to the vine. And the vine is Jesus Christ, and we are the branches. We cannot bear fruit without the vine. We've got to be attached to the vine. And that's the reason why we bear fruit, because we're attached to Jesus Christ. Now, if we are a Christian and we're not walking by faith, believing in what God said in His Word, then we cannot experience the fullness of a Christian life. And so it is important for us to really walk by faith and not by sight. In fact, Jesus Christ one time talked to His disciples in Mark chapter 11, verse 22 and 23. This was the time that Jesus Christ really wanted to teach His disciples a lesson. They were wondering, in fact, this particular scripture tells us that they were talking about the fig tree that withered, because Jesus Christ spoke to the fig tree that did not bear fruit. And so in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, right away Jesus answered to them, have faith in God. The starting point of our faith is God. Amen? He is the starting point. Because if we start having faith on others, then we cannot receive the promises of God in His Word. Do not have faith on people. Do not have faith in the leaders of the church. But have faith in God. Amen? When you have faith in God, then He continued in verse 23. For assuredly, or surely, meaning it's very sure, He said, I say to you. Now in here you will see the principle of really receiving from what the Word of God says. The principle here, the first one, He says, whoever says to this mountain. Now some people literally translate this mountain as really a mountain. Now Jesus here used an allegory. And He said, if whatever you say to this mountain. So the first principle is say to the mountain. What is that mountain? That mountain could be a mountain full of problems in your life. It could be financial, it could be health, it could be broken relationship. Whatever mountain that will try to bar you or hinder you from having a good relationship with God, then you can say. Because if we have problems, a mountain full of problems, it will distract us from focusing our eyes on God. Because we will concentrate on the mountain. Now Jesus is saying, whatever or whoever says, we've got to say to this mountain. If we have financial problem, we've got to say to this problem in the name of Jesus. What God says, He will supply all my needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You're saying it. So you've got to say to that mountain. If you have sickness, if you have challenges on your physical well-being, you've got to say it. And you have to proclaim and say, in the name of Jesus, who is the healer, I command you in Jesus' name to leave my body. It might not leave right away, but if you continue to say it, that's the principle there. Just say the word of God. And the second principle is, then you be removed and be cast into the sea. Now, what he's saying here is, you have to cast it out, and then it has to go into the sea. And then the second principle, and that's not doubt. Whatever you say according to what the Word of God says, and if you say it, then do not doubt. Do not doubt. Doubt where? In your heart. Not in your mind. Because, you know, if you have doubts in your heart, it will affect your saying and it will affect your mind. So it starts in the heart. So the third principle here is that you've got to, first is you've got to say to the mountain, and be cast, and doubt not in your heart, but believe. Believe that those things you say will be done. Well, some people will say, Pastor, that is positive confession all the time. You know what? The positive confession can affect your thinking, it can affect your heart, and it can affect your well-being. Because you're confessing that is according to the Word of God. So these are the principles that we have to consider. When we encounter such problems in life, remember there is a Word of God that you can go back and say to the mountain. It might sound very elementary for many of us, but really this works, because if we continue to say what the Word of God says, then we can have it if we do not doubt. The other one is letter R. R. Refocus. course, last year we had some focus, but this time let us refocus. Now, the word refocus means re again. When you see the word re again, like regeneration. If you have the word re, then again. So it will generate again. So when you say refocus, you already have a focus, but you've got to do it again and focus it. Now, refocus your thoughts if you want to change your life. Now, you know, it starts from the thought life. And then it affects your words. And your words becomes action. And actions become your habits. And your habits becomes your destiny in life. Now, there is a verse that is in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. You know this verse. In fact, the children memorize this. But you see, if you will just really read it slowly, slowly read this verse. Now, it says, blessed is the man. Now, the word blessed there means happy is the man. You will be happy, or blessed is the man who walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Our tendency is when we have problems, we seek counsel from people who are not really born again. Or maybe we start asking counsel from people of the world. The Word of God says, do not seek the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners. In other words, do not start trying to mingle with the sinners when you have some problems and ask for their opinion. And then, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. The scornful are people who are mockers, who are mockers of the Word of God. Nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Now that word delight is very important, because we will go to the next verse, the next chapter, that is Psalm 37, verse 4, and you know what it means, delight. But I'll not go into that, but his delight. Now, the word delight is you're spending time, you're meditating, you are enjoying. So, his delight is in the law of the Lord. When you delight in the law of the Lord, and then you meditate in his word, then you will be like a tree by the rivers. Now, when you are planted beside the rivers, then you get the source. And the source is the water that gives life. So, you're like a tree planted by the rivers. And when you are planted by the rivers, then your fruit will bear in its season, the right season. It will bear fruit. Now, what fruit is it talking about? The fruit of the Spirit will be manifested in your life in due season. Now, there are four seasons, but if you have the fruit in all four seasons, it means that you are being blessed, because happy is the man. And then you will be prosperous in whatever you do, because you are delighting, you're meditating in the Word of God. Now in Psalm 37 verse 4, the verse says, delight also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Now many people will ask, what is God's will in my life? Now you have probably read some books, Knowing God's Will. Really, if you want to know the will of God in your life, is to delight in the Lord. When you delight in the Lord, you will spend time in His Word, you spend meditating in the Word of God, then He will give you the desires of your heart. Your desire is God's desire. When it becomes God's desire, then that is God's will for your life. Now, in contrast to that, if you delight in the world, meaning you spend time in the world system, meaning you spend time in the TV, you spend time watching the soap opera, you spend time in watching the sports, you spend time in watching other TV program, then it will affect your desire. It will affect your desire. What will be your desire if you're spending time on watching sports TV? Your desire will be that you also want to be like one of them. Although you might not be one of them because of your size, because a football player is really very muscular, but you want to spend time more, and you want to see the schedules, and you're willing to pay for the pay-per-view in order to watch the sports. In other words, the desire is the result of what you are delighting. Mm. Amen? Mm. You delight more on the things of the world, then your desire will be on the things of the world. Yes. You're spending time on the things of the world, then your behavior, your action will really be according to the things of the world. And we're spending so much time in the things of the world that we are being influenced by the things of the world. That's why in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, do not be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and you are acceptable holy unto God. The only way that we can really be acceptable to God is when we will delight in His Word. Amen? Amen? And so I would like to encourage each one of us, including myself, to really spend time to delight in the Word of God. If you are not delighting in the Word of God, it means that there is something wrong in your spiritual walk with the Lord. It means that maybe you have not really surrendered your life to God. If you are spending more time and you're delighting in other things instead in the Word of God, then there is something wrong with your Christian walk. And so I beg of you, starting this month, spend time reading more on the Word of God, meditating in the Word of God, and spend more time on prayer. Amen?
Amen.
I have a flyer here on January the 29th. There is going to be a concert of prayer for the churches of the Church of God here in Del Mar, D.C. It will be from 10 o'clock to 3 o'clock at Life Source Church. Now, if you're interested, let me know so that we can go come together. I'll pick you up with the church van and we will go together and we will go to this concert of prayer. We want to really start. In fact, other churches are already starting prayer and fasting. So it really works that way. In the spiritual and in the natural, it works the same way. It works in the same principle. So delight in the Word of God, delight in God, and He will give you the desires of your heart. The last letter is trust in God. Now you might say, Pastor, what's the difference between faith and trust? Faith is believing, but trust is acting what you believe. That's why James said, faith without works is dead. So if you have faith in the Word of God, you've got to trust that it will work when you act on the Word. So the Bible is very clear. And in fact, again, the children knows this verse very well. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. I know you know this verse. Many of you put this in your Facebook. I have read it. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. With all your heart. Not some, but with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Because if you lean on your own understanding, you have a limited knowledge. You have a limited wisdom. So if you trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge Him. Acknowledge means that He will be able to guide you and lead you in the paths of righteousness. Then the promise is, He will direct your paths. The other version says, He will make you successful and be prosperous. So, this year, let us start afresh by stop making excuses. Then, try to make an inventory of your life. Then act on faith, or believe with faith. And refocus your thoughts. And when you do that, then trust God. Leave it to God. He will take care of the rest. Amen? Amen. You do your part, and God has already done His part. It's already there. It's only a matter of making the choice. Let's not make a New Year's resolution, because we are bound to fail if we will do that. What is a New Year's resolution? It is a resolution in the mind that I will not do this, I will, or I will change. But if it is really trusting the Lord, it is from the heart. Because out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth will speak. And when you speak what is in your heart, it will affect your behavior, your lifestyle. The moment the Holy Spirit, and I'd like to conclude this message tonight, the moment the Holy Spirit will convict us of sin and of our bad habits, the idea is we will start a self-improvement plan to immediately get rid of all the bad habits and change our lifestyle. But there is a warning there. When you do that, there is a vacuum. That's why Jesus Christ warned, if you'll open your Bible in Matthew chapter 12. It's not here, but Matthew chapter 12, verse 43-45. And this was the time that Jesus Christ gave a warning for those people who would say, I will change, I will empty myself. Then, what happened? This is the warning of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 12. And this is very true, because I have seen it in my own life. I have witnessed people who have been on fire with God, and all of a sudden, they became worse. In Matthew chapter 12, let me read, starting in verse 43. In verse 43, it says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest, and find none. Now, when you decide to really empty yourself from these bad habits, of course, because when you're born again, the Holy Spirit, the devil cannot possess you. It can oppress you. Remember, you have the Spirit of God in you. But when you say, I want to empty myself and start anew again, then the Holy Spirit will take over, but yet this demonic spirit that oppress you will leave because of the Holy Spirit. And this is what Jesus is trying to say. Then He says, I will return to my house. You see, the devil said, I will return to my house. He will return to your house. From which I come, and when He comes, He finds it empty, swept, and put in order. So He'll find that your house is clean. It's clean and in order. Then in verse 45, then He goes and takes with Him seven other spirits more wicked than Himself. And they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. so shall it also be with the wicked generation. Now what does it mean? It means when we empty ourselves and say, I want really God to take hold of my life. But you're not putting the Word of God in your spirit. You're not allowing Jesus Christ to dwell in you. He is still in the periphery. He is not in you. So He is outside, and then the Word of God is not filling you up, and then the demonic spirit will come back again. And he will bring with him seven spirits, and you become worse from the last estate. I have seen people before in my Christ for many years, they had been on fire for God. They had the zeal to really work for the Lord. And yet one day, they backslidden, they continue in sin, and you find them worse than the beginning. Because the Bible is very clear, seven worse spirits will come to him and you become worse. So let's be careful. Now why? Let us come up with the permanent solution to this. That the demonic spirit will not oppress us anymore if we will allow Jesus Christ to dwell in us, in our life. Turn with me, particularly in Colossians, because this is one scripture that I would really like us to look into. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 is a letter of Paul to the church in Colossae. And he wanted to remind them that they are raised with Christ. Colossians chapter 3 is a letter of Paul that really exhorts the church in Colossae that they are no longer in this world, but they are seated with Christ. Let me read in verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, now you might say, raised with Christ. Now remember when Christ rose from the dead, when he was crucified, he took your sins in mine. That sin was nailed in the cross, and he died, and he rose again. In other words, he took your sin in mine. And then when he rose again, you were also risen with Christ. And so as Paul said, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth. For you died with Christ, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ also is our life appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. What does it mean for you and for me? It means that we have to set our minds on things above and allow Christ to dwell in our heart. Let me affirm this statement. When Paul also wrote to the church in Ephesus. And this was Paul's prayer. In Ephesians chapter 3. Turn with me in Ephesians chapter 3. And I want you and me to be our prayer this year. In Ephesians chapter 3. And let's start reading in verse 16. And this is Paul. I'll start in verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through the Spirit in the inner man. Who's the inner man? The inner man is the human spirit. Your spirit, that your spirit and my spirit will be strengthened. And then in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in you, in your hearts, through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. Through faith. Now remember, everything is by faith. You were saved because of the grace of God through faith. Salvation is a part of God's grace and your part, which is by faith, accepting Jesus Christ who died for your sin. And when you do that, then you are already justified, just as if you have not sinned. But after being justified, then you will be sanctified. The word sanctified means that you will become holy because the Holy Spirit is in you. The Spirit that is in you is holy, so you will be sanctified, meaning there is a process of being holy because of the work of the Holy Spirit. And when you do that, then one day you will be glorified. When you will be glorified, meaning you will be glorified in the body, that you will have a glorified body just like the body of Jesus Christ. So in here, Paul was praying in this particular scripture in verse 18. May he may be able to comprehend with all the saints, that is the width, the length, and the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. If we are being filled with the fullness of God, the demonic spirit can no longer come back and bring with him seven other spirits, because when he will look to that house, which is our temple, the body, when he will look, it is not empty, but it is filled with the fullness of God. And we will not be worse than the last, because of Christ dwelling in us. So this is my prayer. Our prayer really is, if we will continue to really seek the Lord in our Christian walk, then we will reap the benefits. The benefit is, we will experience the fullness of God in our life. And that's the reason why Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, I have come to give you life, and life more abundantly. The fullness of God in our life. Amen? So I pray and I hope that the words that we have received today will sink deep into our spirit, that we will not only make a resolution, but we will start a press with the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
You know, there was a recent survey regarding the Christians, and they started to ask questions like the Christian theology. They were surprised that about 57% of those who profess to be Christians do not really know their Christian theology or the doctrine. That's why it's very important for us to really read, spend more time reading the Word of God. Don't rely on just Bible study. Spend time in your own personal devotion. And I praise God for Sister Jane. Every day I receive devotions for the day. And from that devotion, it can be a way by which you can go back to the Word of God and read, because there are many scripture references in that devotional. And when we do that, we spend time. Aside from that, have your own personal time with God by reading the Word. If you can just spend 30 minutes a day reading the Word of God and meditating in the Word of God, you will see. Because you're delighting in the Word, then you will have the desires of your heart. What are your desires? Are God's desire. And it is His Word that becomes your desire. And then you are fulfilling the will of God in your life, because the Word of God is His will, and His will is His Word, and His will and His Word is God's wisdom. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You for Your Word tonight. We thank You, O God, that we will start afresh. That, Lord, we will stop making excuses that we have no time to read the Word. That we will take an inventory of our life and learn from our mistakes and our failures. That we will act on faith, believing what you said on your Word. And Lord, we will refocus our thoughts and we will delight in you, that you will give us the desires of our heart. And that, Lord, we will continue to trust in you every day, every hour, every day, and every week, and every month, and not lean on our own, but continue to acknowledge you in all our ways, and you will direct our paths, and we will be successful, and we will be prosperous. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.